And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. Say, I bet the folks in your family love surprise desserts, don't they? You know, something extra good like a nice plump layer cake or one of those delicious-tasting white cakes all covered with creamy vanilla frosting. What a treat. Why not spring a surprise like that tonight? In fact, make it a little fancy even by adding bits of pineapple on top. Be sure, though, to use pure white Sure Mix Crisco if you want a really white cake. The snowy white kind that folks can't resist because it looks so good. And even more important than that, be sure to use new Sure Mix Crisco for a better eating cake than you've ever made. Even if you've been using the most expensive shortening.
I'll tell you why, because Sure Mix Crisco gives you three exclusive new cake-making advantages. Yes, it can make your cakes higher, lighter, and tenderer than ever before. And it's all due to a revolutionary shortening discovery, a patented discovery you get only in the new Crisco. No other household shortening we know of can promise you such amazing cake-making help. Why, even before you bake your cake, you'll see the difference right in the batter, so smooth and satiny. There's none of the separating or curdling you get so often with other shortenings. And you know what a smooth, satiny batter means to cakes. We've baked hundreds of cakes in our Crisco kitchens using every well-known kind of shortening we could buy. The cakes made with those smoother, Sure Mix Crisco batters were consistently higher and lighter than those made with any other shortening. And they had a wonderful new tenderness that made them the best eating cakes of all. So do you wonder that I'm so enthusiastic about Sure Mix Crisco cakes? Oh, I know you will be, too, once you've made one right in your own kitchen. I hope you'll do it today and, well, surprise the family tonight with the best eating cake you've ever made. A Sure Mix Crisco cake.
Well, sir, by Virginia Avenue standards, the hour is quite late as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. It's past 11 o'clock. Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Stembottom have only just departed after an evening of 500, and we find Vic and Sade tidying the living room and chatting casually before going to bed. Listen.
Salted peanuts even under the Davenport.
Oh, Fred's the gilly party. He was throwing them up in the air and catching them in his mouth. Although the trick isn't difficult, Fred's success at it was negligible. He missed 3 out of 4 times.
Fred was in jolly spirits tonight. So often, you know, he's grumpy and on edge. Real treat to have him laugh and act the fool.
What was eating Ruthie?
Why?
Something was eating her.
Did you notice it?
I felt that her giggle lacked spontaneity, and I felt that her merriment was forced.
I never thought you'd notice it. You don't generally notice such stuff.
Oh, I'm a more acute guy than you give me credit for. I'm like an Indian stalking through the forest. Nothing escapes me.
Oh, what did Ruthie do that made you think she was bothered?
Nothing at all.
Must have done something.
Uh-uh.
Well, then where'd you get the idea?
I divined it.
Well, she laughed and chattered, same as she always does when we play cards, didn't she?
Her laughter had a fugitive, hollow quality. Her chatter lacked the true gush.
I guess you are a pretty smart fella.
Something was eating, Ruthie, eh?
Yeah.
Well, confide in old Vic Gook. Old Vic Gook will give you a crisp new $20 bill.
Well, it's nothing you'll think is important. Really, it's kind of kiddish. But, of course, Ruthie's awful kiddish to begin with. Lee's little old trivial thing can upset her.
Well, tell me what upset Ruthie, and I'll give you a crisp new $20 bill.
She's got secrets.
Delicious. Whisper them in my ear, and I promise they won't go any farther. Ike Kneesuffer is always badgering me to exchange juicy morsels of gossip with him, but in this case,
well,
I
look, who's here?
Hi.
Well, haven't you been to bed?
I've been to bed, but I haven't been asleep. Read almost half of a Third Lieutenant Stanley book.
How do you account for your presence below stairs?
Come down to see if you people left any ice cream.
I doubt it. Mr. Stembottom was at the ice cream just before they went home. I expect he finished it off.
Can I go out in the kitchen and look?
Ice cream at bedtime gives nightmares.
I'll take the chance.
Plenty of solid peanuts left.
I've had all the solid peanuts I want. Took about a bushel upstairs with me.
You notice one thing about Fred? When he buys the ice cream, he always has to go check up on it before he leaves. Every time. When we buy it, he don't go eat another dish before they go home.
He probably feels entitled to any ice cream he's paid for.
I expect, but we don't do that. When we're at their house and we pay for the ice cream, you don't trot to the kitchen and finish off whatever ice cream's left.
I will next trip, by George.
Uh-huh.
I will get my share of ice cream or die.
I thought it would be. And I bet there was a half a pint in the cardboard carton.
Fred is greedy.
Well, Fred is just Fred.
I'll just stand by and clean it up, Ma.
It's all right. You'll sleep better anyway. Refreshments at bedtime. Bring on the willies.
What was eating Ruthie tonight, kiddo?
I'm astonished you noticed any difference in her actions. You don't generally pay any attention to stuff. I hardly noticed anything myself. And I know that girl like a book.
I'm a very shrewd baboon, Sadie. I'm sensitive to the microscopic of outside impulses. My ears pick up faint sounds and my nervous system reacts to tiny stimuli. I expect...
Now what you going to do?
Sit down at the Davenport a minute.
Hop along upstairs.
I'm not the least bit sleepy.
You're a bad, wicked boy to worry your parents and stay up at such an unseemly hour.
Yeah.
Kindly fetch me my black snake whip. I've decided to thrash you within an inch of your life.
Okay.
Vic, how did you happen to notice Ruthie wasn't quite herself tonight?
Oh, I already told you.
She giggled and chattered and acted exactly like she always does.
Her giggle was perfunctory. Her chatter was jerky.
Yeah, that's true. Several long silences.
Well, you're going to confide in old Vic Gook, the man you love so much?
Ruthie's got secrets. They're absolutely her own business and all like that, but same time, when she keeps anything back from me, she feels guilty and troubled.
Smiley Clark's Uncle Stab dearly loves to tell about him and his lady friend when...
Ruthie wears glasses.
Yeah?
Ruthie wears glasses. When she bought them and how long she's had them, I don't know. But I do know she wears them. I also know that she feels miserable because she can't bring herself to tell me about it. See, we've always told each other stuff.
Mm.
Her glasses was one reason you noticed her actions were different this evening.
Well, how'd you find out about this?
Figured it out for myself.
Huh?
Sure.
How?
Easy as pie.
Not as regular Philco Vance. Give her a couple clues and she don't require any bloodhounds to track
down. Now listen, mister, don't you ever dare repeat anything you hear your father and mother talking about.
I wouldn't distribute confidential information.
Well, don't. Better scoot along to bed, hadn't you?
I'm enjoying my part in this discussion. Besides, I'm not sleepy.
No, but when I try to rush you out of bed in the morning, you'll scream like a panther.
Oh.
Tell me how you discovered Ruthie's secret, Dr. Sleech.
Remember tonight how she got spades mixed up with clubs and hearts mixed up with diamonds?
Uh-uh.
Well, she did. About 9 times. I guess I need glasses, she said. I guess I need glasses. And then she laughed. Laughed so funny and shrill. It wasn't her laugh at all. It was a kind of halfway hysterical laugh. Well, I smelled a mouse right then.
Mm.
I was puzzled, don't you see? Goodness, I know Ruthie Stembottom like I know my big toe. Oh, what on earth, I thought to myself. I began to study Ruthie. I noticed what you noticed. She was uneasy and uncomfortable. Of course, she giggled and chattered away like a house afire, but there was something forced about it.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I saw something that spilled the beans. Something that definitely spilled the beans.
Mm.
People that wear glasses sometimes have a red ridge across their nose, don't they?
Yeah. Ruthie have a red ridge across her nose?
No, she didn't.
No.
Ruthie had a white ridge across her nose.
White?
Powder.
Uh-oh.
You had to look close to see it. You had to look awful close to see it, but it was there. It was there, big as life. She'd carefully dabbed face powder all along the little red line you get from wearing glasses.
Sadie, I must commend you on your astute observational powers.
I couldn't be wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here she's been wearing glasses on the sly for goodness knows how long. Perfectly miserable about it because she can't bring herself to let me in on the secret. Well, I got such a queer feeling when I spotted that white ridge on the bridge of her nose. I felt like going over and putting my arm around her. Boy, would she have boo-hooed if I'd done that.
No disgrace in a woman 37 years old wearing glasses.
No, but Ruthie's Ruthie.
Fred's Fred and Ruthie's Ruthie.
Exactly. All right, and here's another secret.
Eddie Rip.
Look at that boy.
His big talk about not being sleepy was propaganda.
I'll say. Now we got the job of waking him up and getting him upstairs.
Tell me Ruthie's Eddie's secret.
Remember when they first got here and she was sitting in the easy chair? I says, why, Ruthie, new shoes. Remember that?
Vaguely.
She got her feet out of sight. Remember that?
I guess I was chewing the rag with Fred.
She got her feet out of sight. Acted all flustered and funny. I says, when'd you get them? Oh, Friday, I guess, she said. Immediately changed the subject.
What significance do you attach to that?
For years and years and years, Vic, Ruthie and I have gone together to buy shoes.
Well?
This time she went by herself.
Well?
Why did she go by herself this time?
I couldn't say. Why did she?
Because she all of a sudden takes a larger size.
Really?
I'm sure of it. Positive.
Well, what's the meaning behind
Very
all this?
Very often, ladies, when they get along to kind of halfway middle age, start taking bigger shoes.
Who's this?
Yeah. And it's happened to Ruthie.
Hmm.
So there you are. She wears glasses on the sly, and she wears bigger shoes on the sly. And Ruthie being Ruthie, you can appreciate how she feels. No wonder she was uneasy and troubled and miserable tonight. Poor kid. Poor kid. Hey, what time's it getting to be?
Alarmingly close to midnight.
Goodness, let's hop to bed.
Splendid idea.
You want to get that child up from the Davenport?
Okay.
I'll lock the doors.
Hey, wallpaper. Awaken. Fire. Murder. Cyclone. Earthquake.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, here's a grand way to use up leftover Crisco pastry. Make pastry marguerites. Re-roll the dough and cut in small squares. Prick well. And bake quickly, but do not brown. Then beat one egg white, add a half cup of brown sugar, and continue beating until very stiff. Add a dash of vanilla and chopped nuts. Top each pastry square with this meringue and bake 10 minutes in a very slow oven. Boy, they're swell when you serve them with ice cream. Well, there's nothing to surpass that tender, flaky, fresh-tasting pastry you get with pure all-vegetable Crisco, because no shortening we know of comes to you purer, fresher, or creamier than the Sure Mix Crisco. And will you try a Sure Mix Crisco cake? Oh, we don't know of any other household shortening that gives you these three exclusive new cake-making advantages. Higher, lighter, and tenderer cakes than you've ever made before. Yes, that's just what our baking tests prove. So why not change to Crisco today and use it for all your baking and frying? And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.